early April 1996, Eisner invited Katzenberg to visit him in Aspen, ostensibly to discuss the DreamWorks television production deal with ABC. Katzenberg assumed the real reason for the unexpected invitation was to discuss his still unpaid bonus and maybe head off the threatened lawsuit. He still didn't want to face Eisner in court. Maybe they could put this behind them and maintain a civil relationship. Katzenberg cleared his schedule and chartered a plane. The night before the scheduled meeting, a secretary called Katzenberg to say the meeting was canceled. No new date was offered. Katzenberg felt humiliated. He immediately called Ovitz. "He can't do this to me anymore," he vowed. 5 days later, on April 9th, Katzenberg finally filed his suit in Los Angeles Superior Court, claiming that his contract had been breached and that he was owed as much as $12.5 billion for all the projects he developed at Disney. If Frank Wells were alive, this would never have happened, Burt Fields, Katzenberg's lawyer, told the Los Angeles Times, a remark sure to anger Eisner. Respected New York attorney Herbert Wachtel, also on Katzenberg's legal team, said that, "I've had many years of experience as a litigator and dealt with many contracts. The provisions of this written contract expressly requiring Disney to pay Mr. Katzenberg the profit sharing in question are as clear and unambiguous as they can be." For Katzenberg, bringing the case came as something of a relief, an important step in his effort to get past his Disney experience. He subsequently gave an interview to Bernard Weinraub of the New York Times, reflecting on the transition. "I ran the full gamut of emotion," he said of Eisner's decision to let him go. "I was disappointed, sad, angry, scared, philosophical, sad, vengeful, relieved, and sad." Of Eisner, he said, "I thought I knew him. I thought I knew the insides of him. I spent more time with him in 19 years than his wife, his children, anybody. And the truth is, either he's changed, which is possible, or I never really knew him, which is possible. I am aware that for a long time I worked like a mercenary soldier. Someone else wrote the music, and I marched to their tune. And if someone poked me in the chest, I would hit them with a baseball bat. And if they hit me with a bat, I would blast them with a bazooka. And I would escalate this until I reached nuclear bomb time. This was the way I was taught. And it's a very angry place to come from in life. It's a hostile, angry, and predatory way to live." Also in April 1996, Disney announced that Dennis Hightower would retire. Eisner had finally gotten rid of him. Nevertheless, he issued a statement praising him. "While I am disappointed that Dennis has decided to leave," Eisner said, "it does not come as a complete surprise. When I asked him to return to the United States from Paris last year, he made me aware of his plans to retire early and pursue his long-held interest in education." This caused widespread mirth in the television division. The blow to Hightower was softened somewhat by the fact that Gary Wilson tapped Hightower for the Northwest Airlines board. He's also on the board of Gillette. Hightower insisted he was not pushed out, that his division generated 20% growth and about $1.5 billion in operating income the year he ran it. He conceded that his hands-on leadership style necessitated a lot of travel during his tenure at the division, but he said most of the carping about him from fellow executives had more to do with the speeches he was